welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
I've been ministering on a sound mind. It's something that God stirred in my heart towards the end of last year, made me so sensitive to. I have shared it with you. I'm not going to rehearse it again. Of the importance of that as we go into this year. There are many things important for us as we, as individuals, as Christian individuals, as we live through this year, that we don't just carry on the way we were last year, whether that was good or bad, but we advance in the plan and purpose of God and the availability to God. And more importantly, the ability and willingness to allow Him truly to be Lord of our lives. And that's more than just being good in every way. Having Him as Lord of our lives is to walk in righteousness. Of course it is. But to have Him Lord of our lives is also allowing Him to speak to us and to hear His voice. The Bible says there are many voices in this world and none of them without significance. In other words, there's voices, there's sounds, there's things coming to you through the spoken word that's demanding your attention and time in this way, that way, and every other way. And there's that many voices. If we don't set ourselves to hear one voice above every other voice, you will not hear it. And we need to make Him Lord of our lives to the degree that we hear His voice through the day. He's talking to you all the time. He loves you. He loves you. You know, I was going to say there were two lovers here, but we still are. But I can remember the times that, wow, I want to tell you. Do you know what we did? Yeah, more than anything, the snogging and all the rest of it you might want to think might have happened. Well, you'd have thought it anyway, so I've told you. Yeah, we snogged, didn't we? Well, Hillary snogged. I sort of just didn't know what to do. But I'll tell you this, we talked. We talked to each other. Do you know why we talked to each other? Because there was something between us. There was something that I had, and as by way of link, relationship, whatever you want to call it, with Hillary, more than I had with anybody else, and I wanted to talk to her. We ran up bills on the telephone beyond your mom and dad did. They were hundreds of, I'm kidding you not. They're the days when you didn't get cheap phone calls or free. They were days when your phone bill came in and it was, depending how much you'd used it, it was, if you were good, it was 30 or 40 pounds. If you used it like we used it, it was 203 or 30 or 40 pounds. And that's true. Point I'm simply wanting to make is where there is a love relationship, there's a lot of talk. And God's always talking to you because my Bible tells me He so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. Do you think He stopped talking? Can't go into that doctrinally, but He's talking. And talk back to Him. Talk like He's there. Talk like it is alive inside of you. Hallelujah. You know, you hear me say it, and I'm going to say it again. There's a powerful biblical principle, and it's this. God says, draw nigh to Me, and I will draw nigh to you. If you want the presence of God, stay in touch with Him. I don't just mean in a prayer time. I mean throughout the day. Be talking to Him. Be thinking on Him. Be speaking in other tongues. But be communicating Him. All of that is fulfilling that principle. When we draw nigh to God like that, you're going to know His presence. You're going to know His presence through the day. You know He's going to know His presence through the circumstances. But above all, you're going to know His voice. You're going to know His voice. Because when you're talking to Him, He's going to talk back to you. He's going to do that. So I want for a little while to pick up on a sound mind. Sound mind is so important. Before I do, I'm going to tell you this as the Holy Spirit leads me. I've just sensed through this week that what God wants me to do is really lay a stronger foundation, if I can do that, than I have so far, upon one specific area of having a sound mind. We need to understand really who we are, first of all, as human beings, to be able to take hold of the total purpose of God and use a sound mind. But Let's just pray. Father, we thank you again today that as we gather together in your presence, Lord, and draw nigh to you, that you are in this place. You are dwelling within us. And Lord, you are drawing near to each and every one of us, that your will be done, that you will be glorified, and you will impart, you will make manifestation, you will demonstrate that great measure of your love towards us. Spirit of the Lord, we welcome you here today. Have your way. Speak to us. Speak through us. Be exalted as a result of all of your doings in our lives and your communications to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You might want to just put some of these scriptures up. We need to start off with 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Let me tell you it again. Where there is anxiety, there is no faith. Where there is anxiety, there is no faith. You cannot have faith in God and anxiety working together at the same time. And the enemy walks all over us so much through the week. And if that applies to your life, let me carry on to say he's only able to do that because you don't exercise and walk by faith. You walk by sight, carnal sight. Carnal sight is not spiritual. Carnal sight is the fallen state of mankind without a God. And so we think carnally. We think the way the state of fallen man thinks. And we are unable to be victors and accomplishers of great things. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but has given us a spirit. It is the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of power. The Spirit of power. My God, I continually find myself declaring what Paul taught us to pray. Look, grant to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of yourself. In Ephesians 1, he says this. And then he goes on to say, he wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards those that believe. That's what he says. He wants us to know that. And then he demonstrates what he wants us to be sensitive to and aware of and know is available to you and I. He says, according to the measure of the power that he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead. He's talking about power that raises the dead. He's talking about a power that's greater than any power. It's the creative power of God. It's the creative source of God. Hallelujah. He wants us to know that. He has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given you and me the spirit of a sound mind. Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what you and I have, the spirit of power. Act like it. Talk like it. Because other people are quiet and shy, that doesn't mean to say you've got to go to where they've got to go. It doesn't mean they've got to come to where you've got to come. If you're just loud for the sake of loud, but if you're so loud because you are so convinced, then be loud, church. The world needs to hear a voice and see an expression of a conviction of faith. Hallelujah. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, spirit of love, the spirit of love, the spirit of love, and the sound mind. You know, the key to all of that is love. The key to all of it is love. The scripture says, owe no man anything but love. We've got to love, church. You've got to love one another. We've got to love people. We've got to love those that don't seem to function very well towards us and whatever. We've got to love. Love is the greatest. And out of that comes what I'm talking about. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, power of love, and a sound mind. The word sound mind in the Greek says this. Sound mind is a disciplined mind. In other words, it's not a mind that's open to any stuff that comes along. So I don't believe one thing of the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. So I'm not going to listen to any of his stuff. I don't mind how he tries to communicate it, whether he wants to whisper it in my ear, whether he wants to get somebody come along and talk to me negatively, or whether it's the circumstances he brings into my life. I want to tell you this, and he hears it, I am more than a conqueror. There is no circumstance that can overrule me, override me. My Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. When he rose from the grave, and I believe he went to hell. He took captivity captive. Praise God, and he gave gifts to men, and he was born again down there, and he rose, and now he's seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise God. Far above every principality, every power, every might, every dominion, and every name that's named, both in this world and that which is to come. And God has placed all things under his feet and given him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. Praise God. I'm in there. I'm not going to have fear. I refuse to have it. I refuse to accept it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind is not a mind that accepts the circumstances if they're contrary to God. It doesn't accept it. If Jesus Christ has paid the price and dealt by the stripes that were placed upon his body for my wholeness and healing, then I'm not going to accept sickness and disease. I don't care what medical science tells me about it, I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. You say, well, that's nonsense, Pastor. The reason you've got that is because this, and the other. No, the reason I've got that is because there is a devil that came to kill me, steal from me, and destroy me. That's why I've got that. But Christ has come that I might have life. He didn't stop there. He said, and more abundantly. Hallelujah. So that's where we are, a sound mind. So we need to start looking at a sound mind. And to really grasp a sound mind, I'm going to take you to, but I want to lay a stronger foundation in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 and verse 23. That's right. Now may the God of peace, this is Paul writing, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there Paul has given us a revelation truth about ourselves that is something we must grasp and live with a revelation of. That there's an importance attached to us knowing who we are in our humanity. Paul says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body. Man is a tripartite being. We are a spirit. You're looking at a spirit. The only reason that this makes what you see here means anything to you tangibly is because my spirit is in a house. The world calls it a body. So man is a spirit. I am a spirit. You are a spirit being. When you refer to you, you're not referring to your body, though we've got so carnal in our biblical understanding of this that we take the route that everybody takes and that John Nabby, that's John Nabby there. Well, it's a house he lives in. It's a house he lives in. It's not him. It's not him. It's the house he lives in. Man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in a body. That's the tripart makeup of man. You today, whether you're born again or not, you're a spirit, and you have a soul, and you live in a body. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. That's your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. It's important we grasp this. It's important we understand this, not just with our intellect, but with our spirit man. Because it was God that made us, remember. So God is a spirit, has a soul, and he lives in a body. Who has the soul? The body or the spirit? The spirit, your spirit, has a soul. Your soul is related to your spirit man, not to your body. Your brain is part of your body. I think I illustrated it once before by taking us to the rich man and Lazarus. Remember, the Bible says there that Lazarus passed away and he went in heaven. Day came and the rich man passed away and he was in Hades. And the Bible says from that place he looked up and he was in torment and he cried out. He cried to Father Abraham, Father Abraham, send someone to relieve me and to bring some water. And he asked him to send Lazarus. And he says, he can't come. And he said, well, I've got a father and five brothers. Please send him to them. He says, he can't go. They have the prophets. If they will listen to them, they'll do fine. If they won't listen to them and believe them, nobody can do it for them. The point I wanted to make here is this. The rich man was now dead. He was in Hades. His spirit was in Hades. His physical body, just his house, was where? His physical body, he was in Hades, but his body was in the grave. And with his body in the grave, along with his toenails and his fingernails, was what? His brain. His brain is part of his human anatomy, not his soul. The soul, the mind, will, and emotions, and I'm demonstrating the truth of that, were still with his spirit, man. He was in Hades, and he was able to communicate with God out of his soul, mind, will, and emotions, and say, please send somebody down here. This was his mind at work. And God responded to that. I'm just saying that briefly, not want to major on it, to help us understand that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in the body. The spirit and the soul has really nothing to do with the body. The spirit, the soul, is what the body is about. If I can talk about it this way, the house you're going to go home to is just a building, bricks, mortar, and so on. It's not you. It's not you. You just go into that. That's your house. You could pass by our house and say, oh, John and Hillary and Abby live in that house. Yes, that's right. We live there. We live in that house. But it's not us. Your house is not you. This body is not you. It's the house you live in. We need to really understand this. To help us further understand that, let me take you to... let's go back to Genesis. Let's look at the beginning. Genesis. Can I talk instead of taking you through all the scriptures? Is that all right? You could write them down if you wish. Can I just talk? Okay. We'll turn there if we need to turn specifically. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, that God says, let us make man. I think verse 6, 7, around about there. Let us make man in our image. And the Bible says that God took hold of some dust and he formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. So the Bible says. He formed him. You just get a picture of that for a moment. Here's a lot of dust. And the Bible says that God took the dust and he formed a man out of it. I guess we have no other reason to think that it was a man like you and I. Because you see, I just don't accept the theory that those chimpanzees are my forefathers. God did something even more wonderful than that. He just took a lot of dust. And I suppose he mixed it with water. I don't know. God is God. Let me tell you, my God can do anything. All I know is my Bible tells me he took this dust and he formed a man. I have to believe he looked something like me. And that we didn't have to go through these prehistoric ages of all of these thousands of years. I smile a little bit when this rock is 15,000 years old and this is 2 million years old. And I say to Hillary, where did they get that from? You know, every sincere scientific experiment, especially those made by Christian scientists, would put this planet at something like about between 12 to 14 years, 1,000 years old, full stop. I'll not divert to tell you some of the phenomenal statistics and grounds for that that they brought forth. But that, by the way, God took this dust and he built somebody like me. But think of the dust. Maybe he mixed it with water and he formed something. Think of the detail that you're looking at now. From the first child that was born to Adam and Eve, that first child looked exactly the same. Fingers, fingernails. You could bend those joints and all the rest of it. Now, he took that, and then the Bible says that he breathed into him. And the Bible says that was the life of God, and man became a living being or a living spirit. Some translations have, and I like the translation that says became a living spirit. And there was Adam. The next thing you hear from Adam is out there tending the garden. Think of that for a minute. There, he took the dust. All the detail was there. What blows my mind is if the detail was there with the fingers and the hands and the arms and the legs, what about the intestine? What about the inside of him? How did he do that? Did he do that when he took the dust and he made it? Or was it just the outward figure with all the detail? But when he breathed into him, it all just moved into place. Wow. If you ever want to stop for a moment and say, there really is something when the Bible says, the just will live by faith. If you try to work that out with your mind, you're outside of the kingdom before you know what's happened. Either God is or he isn't. But as a thinking man, I have to say, whoa, my God is so great. The Bible says he formed this man out of the dust of the earth, and there he was, just a bit of clay, but looking nearly as lovely as this man standing in front of you. And then he breathed in him, became a living man, functioning. There was Adam. From that moment on, he just talked to him like I'm talking to you. And he told him where to go and what to do. And we know how he made the woman. Man became alive because he had the life of God breathed into him. From Adam onwards, life in man was by the breath of God. In other words, the DNA of God was in man. Hallelujah. God said it's not good for man to be alone, as you know the story. And he made a woman out of the rib of Adam. And then he spoke to these two, and he said, tend the garden, do what you want, have what you want out there. He said, but see those two trees there, tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that, because the minute you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. You know the story. And then into this paradise came this evil thing, crawling on its belly. And it came along to seduce this couple. And let me just say, he said to the man, he told the man, you're not to eat the fruit of this tree. He gave him charge of life and death. I want to say to husbands today, husbands, you have a spiritual responsibility for your wife and for your family. You are the spiritual high priest in your home if you're born again. Your home stands or falls depending upon you and your behavior towards God and from God to your family. How you stand on the word, how you instruct the word, how you set the standards and the behavior patterns of your family, of your own example between you and your wife to your children, how you teach them and train them up, the Bible says, in the way that they should go. All of that is there. And Adam, right at the beginning, fell short of the fulfilling of the plan of God. Because he said, the minute you eat of that fruit of that tree, you'll surely die. What I'm trying to communicate to you is and I want to do it deeply, is that you and I are a spirit being. You are a spirit being. Don't let your intellect take control. You are a spirit being. Man is a spirit. Hallelujah. He has a soul. This is what we're dealing with. What's the soul? The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. I want to try and communicate to you that we are just like God, but we're living in a house. This body is just a house I'm living in. I could come into your house and I walk in there and I'm overwhelmed by the cleanliness of it and the arrangement of it and all the rest of it. Or I could come into your house and it's a tip. I mean, it's a tip in every meaning of that word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, this is the house I live in. God comes and visits very regularly and he sees the state of your house. Of course, man is a spirit. He has a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and he lives in the body. So it's the result of your mind, will, and emotions concerning the state of this physical house you live in. The things it does, the things it suffers, the things it experiences is a result of that. I'm trying to communicate to you as well the miracle of being a spirit person. When we miss the fact that man is a spirit in the image and likeness of God, I'm able to walk this planet increasingly more and more like God because I'm a spirit being. Do you know what affects how much is revealed of who I really am? It's not my body. Oh, it's shown through my body. But the cause is in the middle here. My mind, my will, and my emotions. But it's what comes out of my mind that affects who I am down here. And if my mind, which is part of my emotions, isn't brought into place to fulfill the will of God, then you're going to see just what my body is demonstrating. My body is demonstrating the fact that God doesn't live there. Because it'd be a better kept garden. It would function so differently. There'd be a welcome on the mat that everyone came along. There would be a word of blessing and deliverance to everyone that needed it. Because God is a spirit and I am a spirit. So a spirit being is important. Knowing that we are a spirit being, that we have a mind, will, and emotions. You know, God, you're a spirit being and I am a spirit being. And we have a personality. You know, God, who you can't see, is a spirit. The Bible says in John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. So, God being a spirit, I have to be able to grasp the fact that that's who I really am. And that being the case, the only way I can demonstrate that is allowing he who's in me to live out from me. Now, when the serpent came to Adam and Eve, they didn't respond to the one that lived inside of them. Because they were no different to you and I. Yeah, they were just made, created, but they were no different to you and I. God had breathed himself into them, but they chose to listen to another voice. And when they listened to that other voice who said, why wouldn't you eat of it? She said, because God says the minute we eat of the fruit of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, we will surely die. He says, you don't believe that. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say that. He said, you don't believe it. Did God really say that? You know, I'll tell you why God said that to you. Because he doesn't want you to be like him. And as you know, they were already like him. It was his spirit in them. They had the same ability as God, the God that was now in them. Glory to God. They could do all the things. Have you ever pondered, you've heard me probably address the fact, it blows my mind. God said to Adam, as he created all these animals, name them. Name them. Do you know why he was able to name them? Because the same ability that was in God was in them. And Adam could list all these names for all these animals. I mean, where did he get the word giraffe from? Where did he get the word elephant from? And so on and so on. That was a product of who was living in him. Do you understand? The Spirit of God was in him. He's a spirit being. And he was just getting this brain that's part of this physical makeup that he'd now got as a result of God breathing into him. And he was able to use the brain because God was giving his mind information that he could call him by what he did. God being a spirit is so important. When they believed the devil, and they did, they went and took the piece of that fruit, took it, Eve ate it, gave it to Adam, and he took it and chewed it. And there it was. There it was. Because of ignorance, they said, and the devil said, "See, I told you, you wouldn't die. You wouldn't die." But you see, he hadn't a clue what he was talking about. Nor did they. Because they are not a body. I, as you and I, I'm a spirit. And I live in a body. The body, as long as this body can function around, John now be walking around, but it doesn't mean to say the Spirit of God is Lord in my life. Do you understand? My body is just dependent upon its ability to stay healthy. But I'm a spirit and I live in here. And the minute they ate that the fruit of the tree of knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died. Not their body. Their spirit man died. And at that moment there was a transition took place. The one who was to live in them, God Almighty, was now put outside. They had taken another leader, and that was Satan. And so now the spirit of Satan entered them, and the Spirit of God left them. So I want you to know that mankind is in its state that it's in because the Spirit of God is not in man today. The Spirit of God has come to an end. Oh, I need to close, and I have gone no way, really. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Let us go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I think 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 it is. Sure it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's just read a few verses from verse 11. Oh, I'm going to go back to verse 9. But it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of a man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit," and remember that's who's in you and me, I'm born again today, praise God. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. And his Spirit lives inside of me." His Spirit is not here. His Spirit is in here. It's me. I'm a carrier of the person of God. And you are. And to the degree that we let him live his life through us is a degree that we experience his presence and his manifestation. So I'm talking about the Spirit of God. That's what I'm saying, trying to lay strongly here. I'm reading here, aren't I? And I'm going to close when I read these few verses here. Verse 10, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world," get that, praise God, I'm a born-again believer, I don't have the spirit of the world in me, I am not a follower of Satan. I have the Spirit of God in me. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us, hallelujah, by God. These things we also speak, not in words, which in man's wisdom teaches, but with which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the carnal man, the carnal man that thinks carnally, acts carnally, whether he's a born again or otherwise, the carnal man, all these things are foolishness to him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, but that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and it's by the Holy Spirit. So I've linked all that together simply because I want us to get a clear understanding as to who we are before we try to apply the biblical truths in this area of a sound mind. Man is a spirit. You are a spirit. You pay too much attention to the house you live in and not the person that lives in the house. And I do. But man is a spirit. He has a soul. It belongs to the spirit, not the body. He has a soul, which is a mind, will, and emotions. And he lives in a body. The body is the least of the importance. Let me just, as I close, do close here, say why that's important. Man is a spirit, and he has a soul. The soul belongs to God, not the body. You see, without a soul, you have no personality. You can be a spirit, but you need a mind and a will and emotions. All of those are found in God. God has a personality. God is a spirit. Right? But he has a mind. He has a will. I can take you through all the scriptures. And he has emotions. And that's why, you know, when we leave this planet, we're going to enjoy another realm based upon the fact that, and I don't know, I really don't know. I know we're going to put on another body, but I know this too, that we can have today what we can have in heaven, a heaven on earth. But it can only be because we understand who we are. I'm going to carry on next week and lay a stronger foundation concerning how we operate this mind successfully according to the scriptures. Let me throw another just dropped here, so I'm going to drop it onto you. Have a look at the scripture. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I'm not going to start even expounding that right now. You can chew on that yourself. But the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Do you know what a candle is? You know the only time that you'd want it. Well, you know the times that you'd want to use a candle and the reasons for it. Think about it. Chew on it.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps and blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.